You know, if I was sitting over here where Magnus is and it started here and it went, and I'm going, oh my God, you know, I would just get so freaked out, the Wheel of Doom would be going, and I'd be just I'd be totally collapsed. This is the God's honest truth. So I said, hey, I got to get over this. I did not say, I can't do it. I said, I got to get over it. That's what I said. So how are you going to get over it? Well, the only way you can get over it is you got to do it. It's the only way. There is no other way. And I've had the good fortune of working with a lot of speakers because I ran the schools back in Detroit for years. And I had all different kinds of guys. We had all the people in the factory. We had all different kinds of speakers come in and do presentations and stuff and so on to make it more interesting for our audiences. And so I really studied how people spoke and how they reacted to pressure and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like I'm a real authority on this because I do a lot of this kind of thing. The ones that have the most experience are the best speakers. End of story. If you're not freaked out by it, you'll never, ever be a good speaker. You have to be freaked out because you have to have some nervous energy to fire your presentation. How many of you know Tom Floyd? Okay, ran schools for a long time. His normal fully working heart rate is about 27. And when he's really, really excited, his heart rate is 28. And when he gives a presentation, he kind of talks like this, and he can talk just like this. He could talk like this for the whole day. Wouldn't that be fun to listen to? A good speaker has to project a lot of energy, a lot of energy. I get my energy from my nervousness, like I'm totally freaked out. You know, here I got my biggest customers, a bunch of guys, and I'm doing this presentation, and I got the Wheel of Doom. And I had all these negative thoughts in my mind. But, you know, hey, I've been used to here. I noticed this thing is telling me you can't do it. So let me tell you what I did to overcome this. The first thing I did is I enrolled in Toastmasters. They still exist, and there's some information on their website there. They have a great program. They give you a book. And it takes a year to get through the book. Each month, you make a presentation from one chapter in the book. So anytime you go to a Toastmasters meeting, they meet for dinner, and then everybody gives talks. And it is hokey. I got to tell you, it's hokey. But nevertheless, you get a lot of good experience and so on. It's the best foundation that I can imagine for being a good speaker. So it starts off with, has anybody done this, Toastmasters? Okay. Well, I don't even think this group needs it, but maybe you have younger guys around that come along. You might be able to help them, but this thing is terrific. Chapter one is just introducing yourself. Chapter two is, you know, doing this and so on. After a while, they tell you to come up, and it's all about green light, red light, yellow light, and stuff like that, and they'll give you something like that, and they'll say, Mike, come up here. You got 3 minutes. Talk about that. You don't have any idea, or they'll give you an envelope, and you open up the envelope, and whatever's in there, you got to talk about it, and you got to do this, you know, and they got all these different things. It is really, really good practice, and I don't even think it costs money. I'm not even sure what it is, but it's mostly guys trying to get better at doing public speaking. That's good. In our business, customers want to know about our stuff. So when I started in this thing, I started doing training programs, but I missed it. I was trying to develop my own public speaking expertise when I gave training programs to customers. It took me like 2 years to realize, hey, Mitchell, it's not about you being good at public speaking. It's about getting business. And it finally dawned on me. If I'm going to go out there and give a talk, I better make sure I get some orders. So then I started thinking more about, if I'm going to give a presentation, make sure everybody's got literature. How do they order it? Well, they got to call somebody. Okay, make sure there's a distributor's telephone number on the thing. And what I always tried to do was, in the presentation, I tried to ask them, if you feel like you benefit from this program, can you show me your appreciation by just simply thinking of SECO the next time you have a need for something? Now, maybe some of you sitting right here at this moment have a problem out in the factory or something like that. In front of every single one of you is a 5x7 file card. Please fill it out with your name and so forth and phone number, and just tell me what your machining project is that you'd like us to work on. And, you know, hey, you might have, 20 people and two or three write it up. That's the way to get going. So try to, if you're going to do a presentation, try to tie it somehow to get business. If you do something for an association, like when I was back at headquarters, I used to do these national things for, the NC Society, SME, and all this kind of stuff. And I'd go out there, and they'd say, no commercial literature. So right here with no commercial literature is what I'm saying. If I'm going out and I'm going to do a talk and just expose myself to all this nervousness, I'm going to be totally freaked out. I'm selling something. So I bring all the literature out, and I defy you to find any kind of society that 5 minutes before you're supposed to go on, and they say, you can't distribute that information. No. They're going to say, nobody's going to mess with you. You're the next speaker. You can hand out stuff, and nobody will say a thing. So every time I gave talks on a national basis, I always handed out literature. And if anybody asked me something, I'd say, oh, this is part of my talk. This is technical information and stuff like that.